As we make our way through the Gospel of Matthew week by week here in the spring, in our daily Bible reading, we get closer and closer to the end of the story. And if you pay attention to the details of the reading, as we get closer to the end, Jesus begins to prepare his disciples for what is coming. This reality is impacting what he's saying to them. We noticed that in our reading from Matthew 16 a couple of weeks ago, if you'll open there this morning. Matthew chapter 16. It's time, as the end draws near, for the disciples to begin putting the story together. And so in verse 13 of Matthew 16, Jesus questions them, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And their response to that is, well, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then he puts the question to them in verse 15. He makes it personal. "Who do you say that I am? Are you putting it all together now?" The answer is yes. Verse 16, Peter speaks for the group. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." This is one of Peter's moments of brilliance, right? In fact, maybe Peter's greatest moment. He gets it. He's putting it all together. In fact, Jesus says, verse 17, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." But that's not all there is to the story. There's more coming. It isn't just about his identity, but what he had come to do. And so there are hard truths that they need to embrace as well. And so verse 21 says, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day." I think it is important as we read this to remember that you and I have a tremendous advantage when we read these passages. We look back with hindsight on these events that are taking place. We know the whole story. We know how this ends. For the disciples, they are living these things. They're in the moment. These things are happening to them. And so we recognize what they did not. That what Jesus describes here just goes to the core of the Bible story. All of this, going to Jerusalem, suffering, being persecuted by the leadership, dying on the cross, being raised on the third day. Well, to Peter, that was unthinkable. I don't know with certainty what was going on in Peter's mind as he anticipated who Jesus would be and what Jesus would do. Maybe like some of his day, he imagined that he was part of a great political movement and that Jesus would rise up and be a great king like David and rally the Jews to run the Romans out of the land and restore their great kingdom. Maybe that was in Peter's mind. Which is why the next comment from one angle makes sense. He was certainly not expecting this, that Jesus would die. By the way, I don't think he ever heard the raised part, not here. I think when Jesus said die, Peter's brain shut down at that moment, and that's all that he heard. And so in verse 22, his response is, "God forbid, Lord, this shall never happen to you." It is a bizarre response, even in and of itself. He says, Lord, you're wrong about this. How does that work? That the Lord is wrong. In fact, how do you square that with this previous confession? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The two things don't go together. He fails to realize the implication of his own words, as Jesus will describe in chapter 17 in a moment. At this point, he has faith, but it's little faith. Response of Jesus to all of this is equally shocking. I mean, after this great moment, how bizarre is this exchange? This will never happen to you. And Jesus' response is, get behind me, Satan, verse 23. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man. What Peter proposes puts him in conflict with God's great rescue plan. He has unwittingly become a pawn in the hand of the adversary. What Peter is advocating cannot stand. It cannot be that way. This is how the story goes. With his suffering and his death and his resurrection. It will not be the first time that Jesus, or the last time rather, that Jesus addresses this topic. And we've seen that in our reading this past week. If you move ahead to chapter 17, verse 22. And while they were gathering together in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day. And so he revisits this awful truth. If these stories follow chronologically here, some things have happened since Jesus' first statement of reality that's coming. In chapter 17, as we read this week, he was transfigured. And the voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. And then there was that struggle with the casting out of the demon in which Jesus rebukes the littleness of their faith. And so perhaps it's no surprise that when we get to verse 23 of chapter 17, the response to the reality of his death is different. The end of verse 23, the text says, and they were deeply grieved. Maybe now they're beginning to embrace the awful reality of what's coming. We too this morning join the shocked multitudes, but with the advantage of being on the other side of the cross. We see what Peter did not see. Jesus did not come to restore an earthly empire to Israel. He came to build a new spiritual kingdom of which everyone can be a part. Aren't we thankful this morning? And he didn't come to defeat the Romans. He was here to tackle a bigger enemy, sin. He came as the Lamb of God, the Lamb that God would provide for himself, who could take away the sin of the world. He came into the world with the altar of sacrifice waiting for him. That was the plan, for him to die. And although we certainly grieve the terrible price that had to be paid for our sins, oddly enough, today we celebrate with this meal that the story ended this way, with the Lamb of God offered as a sacrifice to take away our sins.